Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, November the 26th, 330th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon out of sunny Fortuna, sort of sunny Fortuna today, Regan Candelaria.
Hi, thanks for having me. It was sunny today in Fortuna, by the way.
Was it?
I had my sunglasses on the whole way here, too.
Well, that could be because you spend so much time in a tanning bed. It could be just force of habit, right?
I wish. I'm getting whiter and whiter every day.
Welcome to the North Coast. Oh, so what do you got on tap that you want? Is that your business card you're using as a note card?
No.
Well, it's one of my business cards that you're using as a note card. Okay.
Well, I was thinking we'd talk a little bit about the successful color run that happened Sunday morning and, in general, public-private partnerships that Fortuna's been associated with over the last year.
Partnerships. We'll be holding hands when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from George Burns, who said, quote, "I should have been a country western singer. After all, I'm older than most western countries." So, partnerships. When you hear that phrase, what image immediately leaps into your mind?
I don't know, I guess a handshake.
Oh, okay. See, I was thinking of the earthquake. Duck, roll, and cover, yeah.
Partnership.
Because normally somebody wants something from you. And it's just what kind of, for me at least, what level is that relationship going to be? Is it going to be even Steven? Is it going to be skewed one way, skewed the other? Because rarely are they even.
I don't know how you got to earthquake from that.
Run and hide. You know, I need a partner to help me out with, and that's normally called I give everything, receive nothing.
Okay, well, I see your perspective there.
Thank you.
I happen to be in local government, though, and we are a service sector.
You know, so you can't run that far. You can't roll that far either.
No. And, okay. You know, kind of my philosophy is that we are there to provide partnerships and support and help to people that might need it or that are looking to do something better for the community. So
how do you determine, or how does city council or staff determine, if this is a project that will benefit the community? Or if it will be a distraction, or if it's a really narrow special interest, and boy, we really don't have the horsepower or the means to be able to support those five people in our town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's key, and that's staff's job is to analyze that and try and determine what benefits, what the partnership benefits will be to the city and the community and, you know, the businesses in town. And then we bring that forward to the council to, of course, make that ultimate decision. But, you know, we would, do some analysis and have some recommendations and some alternatives to the council that, you know, hey, this is what has come forward and this is the city's potential role and this is how we would see this as benefiting our community or not.
Does every project get the opportunity to get that far? The reason I'm asking is a lot of times people will make comment in a public setting. And boy, if you don't jump on their comment as being the best thing that you've heard, mm-hmm. not tonight, not this week, but this month, there's something faulty in your genetic code. And boy, we're going to point that one out to everybody.
Yeah, you're right. And that we do get a lot of those that might not make it, you know, to the public setting of, you know, here's a formal decision. You know, but if there's some that we can handle or address or take care of outside of that public process with the, you know, the abilities that we have or the expertise that we have on staff, we try to do that. And then some of the others that don't, you know, well, they might have to go to that formal process and get formal direction.
Do governmental entities tend to value staff time at real dollar, or do they tend to either overinflate or dismiss the value?
That's a difficult question. I mean, it really does depend on the project. I mean, sometimes councils or, you know, governing bodies will feel like, oh, you're spending too much time in a certain area. And other times they'll feel like, well, that is part of your job and your job description, and that is what you should be doing, you know, with as much time as you have. You know, some other projects might take an inordinate amount of time that aren't normal. You know, if you're not filling potholes or trimming trees or, you know, protecting the community, writing speeding tickets and that kind of thing, that people know, hey, that's what the city does. You know, sometimes the other stuff that you do that's very important and contributes to the community, people don't understand what it takes, or that is something that is a responsibility of the city.
I would think there would be a temptation sometimes to over-allocate staff resource time into some of these projects, because maybe you get fired up, maybe you're getting heat from on top or below.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we have to do this. I mean, this is a great project. We really have to step up. We have to do all volunteer some of my time on your dime to do. Anyway, how do you have your checks and balances so that you're not going way crazy on one direction or way crazy in another?
Yeah, that's a tough one for staff, because we try to be responsive and try to be active. And, you know, I think the city council, that's kind of their role. You know, they set policy for the city, and if we're going too far in one direction, they'll let us know, and they'll adjust budgets as, you know, if we're going too far in one direction, they'll let us know.
But if you're throwing a Parks and Rec guy,
mm-hmm.
at a flower bed or the flower beds on the bulb outs down Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
City council really going to know if you've got Bob spending 25 hours a week instead of 15 hours a week pulling weeds?
No, I don't think they know that level of detail. I'm thinking about more bigger long-range projects or long-term projects.
You're thinking big, I'm thinking small. How frightening is this? Granted, so for most of these projects, it's up to department heads or yourself to go, okay, this is what we can commit.
Good.
And that's what we can commit.
That's correct. We have limited resources, and we need to be able to do that. But when something hot does come along, you know, we have to make adjustments, and we can't, you know, overlook those opportunities. Like some of these partnerships that come up, you know, is not necessarily something that was on our agenda or on our CIP, but we don't want to lose sight of those and miss an opportunity.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324, and we're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria out of Fortuna. Regan, the concept of capital improvement programs, whether it's for this project or that project, or whether it's privately funded, publicly funded, some percentage in between, how do you determine if it's something that you, as a city structure, want in the city? Let's say a new park. It's mm-hmm. probably a real safe, easy one. Somebody wants to knock down a house and put in a park. So it's not a developer, it's the neighborhood kind of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, nay, thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you have to do an environmental impact report and find out what the costs are going to be and the environmental da-da-da-da?
Yeah. Well, generally, those kind of projects are more on a wish list kind of basis as opposed to a CIP, because with our capital improvement program, what we're trying to do is make sure we're prepared in the future for those things that are requirements. Providing more open space is something that communities, cities are required to try and do. But it's not, it's kind of more of a, it's not a requirement. It's more of a desired option to have more open space. Whereas, to make sure that our treatment plant is functioning properly, those are the types of things that are on our capital improvement project to make sure that Fortuna Boulevard gets resurfaced and, has a good, safe driving surface out there for all of our residents. Those are the things that we know are going to wear out over time or to have new requirements from the state board for our treatment plant. Those are the kind of areas that we typically put on our CIP. Other capital improvements that, or purchases maybe, when we know equipment, vehicles, dump trucks and those kind of things are going to wear out. We try and plan for those.
So let's say here comes Mr. Smith or Mr. and Mrs. Smith with a wonderful idea about a community flower garden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's only going to cost the city the property and whatever things, the infrastructure associated mm-hmm. with that. Okay, but we'll donate, or they'll donate rather, the fertilizers and the flowers.
Yeah, those are things we try to tackle right away.
That's something that at least it would get entertained.
Yeah, definitely. And, within our current year's budget, if it's something that, for instance, if this flower garden, is going to require, a quarter of an acre and we're going to have to run, irrigation lines out to it and, provide lighting, then those kind of things, if it's that big of a project, we might have to wait and, put them in our budget and have the council approve it and say, here's where these funds are going to come from for this public improvement. And, it might not be a CIP thing that's going to take 3 years to accumulate the dollars to do, but it might be something that could take a year or two before we can say, yeah, okay, in order to commit 10 grand, we need to wait until the next fiscal year. But for other smaller scale projects like that, we have a partnership with our garden club in Fortuna, and they do manage our bulb outs here in town, and that's a great partnership. As I mentioned earlier, the Color Run, or did I mention it?
That was just you and me.
Oh, okay.
And well, Damien was throwing things at me. I'm not sure what that stuff was. But
so, projects like that come into town, we are able to handle on a, fiscal year basis with the staff that we have and the expertise that we have to try and help make something like that happen for the community.
With charitable organizations, are they treated different than nonprofits?
No, I don't. We try to treat everyone, with an equal opportunity to work with us as staff and as city representatives.
Even private business sector?
Sure. Yeah, if they're contributing something to the community, we want to accommodate that. If it's something to help them, grow their business or, create something that's going to benefit them directly, then, well, that's different. That's not a community event or a community benefit.
Where do things like parking lots fit in? Whether it's a community garden,
mm-hmm.
nice little something set aside, something more significant than that, less significant. Where do parking lots enter into it for the dog parks, the skate parks, the baseball fields, that kind of stuff?
Well, for those individual uses, I don't know. I thought you were going more like downtown, which is an interesting question because
downtown,
that is something that benefits the entire community. If we're able to provide some more parking, that'll attract more business for our downtown business community, and of course that creates the sales tax that they're generating. It also creates the community participation when we have events downtown, like the rodeo and the other parades and the 5K runs. There's places for people to go and actually get there and set up shop and participate in those events. So those are benefits to the community. And there is a cost and expense with having real estate and creating a parking lot.
There are certain things that are more user-focused, user group-focused. I know Aaron's done a couple comments on it. You've talked about the dog park also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got a dog? Good stuff. Only have cats? Probably not going to visit there too often.
Don't need that as much, no.
Yeah. So how do you determine if there's enough critical mass within the community for the city to step up and either participate at a small percentage or participate at a significant percentage?
Yeah, in terms of, you know, community need or desire, you know, that's a tough one. It's going to be hard for staff to determine how many, you know, families have dogs that want to do an off-leash dog park. You know, we could try to get some stats someplace, but, you know, with 12,000 people, you know, generally there's going to be enough families that, you know, we see it already at our existing parks where there's dog walking groups that we know they meet kind of at the same time, you know, at our parks, you know, and the rest of the time our staff see dog walking going along around the outer edges of the park. So there's obviously
or through neighborhoods or whatever.
Yeah, in town. I mean, we have a regular crew that goes out and fills the mutt mitts at the different locations where we know people walk their dogs. So there's a need, there's a desire in the community.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria, city manager for Fortuna. Regan, this concept of public-private partnerships, for folks who are unfamiliar with what that exactly means, what are some of the examples that Fortuna has?
That's a great question, Brian. I appreciate you asking that because we do have a couple over the last year that are new to the city. And in my view, a public-private partnership is just a cooperative effort between, you know, local government, an organization like ours, the City of Fortuna, and a group from the private sector, whether it be a nonprofit organization or other group of community members that want to see something happen or want to see something positive for the community. And I've always been of the mind that we need to support those kind of efforts and ideas, you know, because I don't see why, you know, the city should not be trying to improve the community from every aspect possible. I mean, we've got certain things that we're good at as an organization, of course, because we are required, you know, to, as I mentioned earlier, fill potholes and fix the streets and, you know, provide public safety and, you know, police the area, provide recreation programming, that type of thing. But there's other stuff that we're not. But they do benefit the community and benefit our businesses and residences. So if somebody brings something like that forward, I think a partnership is in order to try and help them accomplish their goals.
Skateboard parks, softball parks.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. Things that aren't, you know, you go to most parks in the state of California and you're going to see a lot of open space. You're going to see swing sets. You're going to see softball fields because that's, you know, generally what people like to do, soccer fields, that type of thing. Sometimes you'll have a gym situation where you can provide, you know, indoor activities like basketball and whatever. But for instance, in Fortuna, we have a lot of young, you know, bike riders and kids that get back and forth to school. And a bike committee was formed not too long ago to try and create a location for them to go and enjoy their bikes, like a little motocross type of situation. And that committee approached the city. And after some time, we were able to work together and identify a partnership where the city was able to provide a portion of one of our existing parks, Newburgh Park, so that this bike committee, you know, can fulfill their desire and their dream of creating this new bike amenity for the youth of our community. Adults can use it as well. But it's now open, it's fully fenced, and it's got signage up to let everybody know what it is and how to use it and what to do there. And city staff had the partnership role of helping that organization identify what things were needed and how to get through the process. And then, of course, the city, through the city council, designating a portion of that Newburgh Park, you know, for this use, as opposed to the, you know, the swing set area or the softball field or the parking lot or the batting cages. Now we've got this area designated as a bike park.
And everybody's flocking to it.
It was, they just had a ribbon cutting yesterday afternoon after the Chamber of Commerce meeting and was very well received. Of course, a very sunny day, Chamber of Commerce Day in the city of Fortuna. So that was great. Another prime example is the dog group that came out with an off-leash dog park, wanting to provide that amenity for actually, you know, the residents of the community and business travelers, you know, or just regular travelers that are stopping at our hotels there along Riverwalk Drive. And a lot of people happen to travel with animals these days, and cities that can provide an amenity to you know, for them to enjoy while they're in town. If they happen to find a hotel that allows pets, which ours do, that was a nice partnership. And so, again, came from the private sector. The city chose to help them out and help them with some, you know, coordination, some engineering studies, and, you know, some of the different things that were going to be required. Help them get some estimates for some fencing, and on, you know, their fundraising effort, they were able to put together the money to get the property leveled out properly, and the fencing put in, and the gates put in. And so there you have it, another partnership, and we have a new amenity in town.
KINS News and Information Times 340. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 343. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Regan, just got a couple updates around town as we're looking at, well, I guess we could almost say it's winter.
It's definitely winter. It's got December sneaking up on us next week.
Getting into the coolish part of the year, I guess. You ready for winter?
Yeah.
Professionally, so. You guys ready for winter?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely. All the gutters are clean, and all the
we've been clearing
the
out.
The floofs have been floofed.
Yes. Not sure what floof you're talking about. But yes,
neither am I.
We've been out taking care of, you know, a lot of our responsibilities for maintenance.
In the creeks, Strong's Creek, the main creeks in the town. Are you able to do anything in there proactively, or do you have to wait for something to happen before you can go in and really take care of business?
That question is way more detailed than I think you expect, but the answer is no. We have certain things that we have responsibility for and we have permits for. Others that we don't, we do have to wait and you know, deal with the permitting agencies on those waterways.
Kind of like what the Salt River is going through.
Yes. Does it even exist anymore? It doesn't look like it.
Well, bits and parts.
Yeah.
Day by day, a little bit more, maybe.
As this winter comes, I'm sure I'll see more of the Salt River.
I bet you will. What's going on with the old mill site in the middle of town? Are you hearing any rumors, any whispers, any positive?
Well, not really. I know that there's some people that are very interested in that as a potential economic driver for the community. And there's a small group that's taking a look at, well, what can we do, you know, infrastructure-wise to try and, you know, contribute to it being more of a turnkey location for some major developer that might want to come in. Of course, this property is not owned by the city of Fortuna or even a local landowner. It's the town of Scotia. So there's, again, a need for a partnership with somebody else to try and do some planning for that site or to make it more, you know, of an attraction for some development firm.
Is it environmentally neutral? Or do you know?
You know, the last time I spoke with the ownership, they were like very close to having a sign off on that site that they could do some projects there with some minor limitations of, you know, the very southern portion of the site that would need to stay open space because of its the creek there and some of the other wetland potential there. But the rest, they were very close to having a sign off that they could start doing development. You know, probably not a school or a you know, hospital type of thing, but other developments that aren't, you know, very, you know, with people there 24 hours a day, I think was what one of their requirements were.
It'd be usable space.
Yes. So commercial, retail, industrial development.
Not only grazing cows.
No, they don't have any cows out there right now.
Yeah, move the stockyards down there. A lot of folks have commented in the last little bit about it seems as if either it's more visible or you in Fortuna are having to deal with more homeless folks. What's kind of the management plan for homelessness in Fortuna for this winter? Do you have shelters in place and things like that?
Well, we've actually been pretty proactive over the last year to try and address, you know, those situations. I think we talked about a while back, we did a no camping ordinance in Fortuna, which helps out a little bit. Definitely helps a lot of our private sector owners out with issues on their properties that are vacant, where people might tend to congregate. And so we're going to continue our, you know, we've got a fairly aggressive plan through our police department to, you know, address people and respond to concerns and issues of our community members and businesses. We're going to continue on that plan. We had some pretty good success with it last year, and we hope it keeps up for this year.
So you keep cruising behind the mall and try to push them?
Whenever we get a referral, we check everything out and exhaust every avenue we have.
What about home starts in Fortuna? Haven't heard an awful lot about even home sales here in the last couple of years in our area, but signs are starting to have the little signs on them that, you know, have the sold on them, which is kind of cool.
Well, I would say the direction you're going with that question is that it's good news. I mean, when every month we do a report for our council from all the different departments, and if you take a look at the report from our building division every month compared to last year, the number of permits that are coming through our department are way up for this year.
Do you guys track home sales?
No, not really. The construction and those permits, that's data that we have.
Are there any developments that are being planned more than like the cul-de-sac kind of development? Is there any big splash that's going to really cause some traffic changes and things like that?
Not that I'm aware of. Actually, in Fortuna, we have a lot of subdivisions that were approved, you know, a way back before this recession hit. And so those are there and ready to roll. So as soon as developers start thinking, okay, yeah, there is a demand and, you know, we can start building these new homes, we'll see even more of these construction permits come through.
Is the city ready for that?
Oh, yeah.
You could handle a 50 or 100 new homes in the next year or two?
I think so. When you look at our general plan, which was just adopted in 2010 to go through 2030, they're projecting us to be up to about 17,000 in population with our current infrastructure and our current capacity. So, yeah, we have room, and I think we're ready to handle that.
You imagine 50% more traffic down Main Street?
I think the merchants would love that.
Holy cow.
Just have to get back to that discussion about providing parking and other amenities.
Is the city in a spot where it's flexible enough to be able to do that? I mean, I know there are parking lots around, okay, whether they're needing to be used or not, different story. But if you needed to add a couple of parking lots in downtown, are there spaces available that you could utilize for that?
I really haven't looked at the maps or done that analysis myself to answer that question for you. But in terms of creativity and flexibility, we would do our best to identify something, or again, work with a private sector, property owner that might have space that they're not developing, and provide an interim use. You know, you can do some, parking is an easy thing to kind of put up that if you want to build a building later, it's not necessarily in your way like another structure. So,
yeah, I found that to be the case. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming by. You guys will be in town for the weekend?
Actually, I'm heading to the Bay Area to my brother's house.
You'll be one of those travelers.
Yeah, he's entertaining, I think, 41 for dinner on Thursday. So
that is a big turkey. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you. You too.
We've been talking shop with Regan Candelaria. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more talks. Go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.